This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Welcome to the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Sabine Pooks. All communities on the Kenai Peninsula rely on tourism to some extent, but Seward is kind of uniquely situated in that it relies more on cruise ships, which have obviously been on pause during the pandemic. And last year, Seward's economy as a whole suffered more than nearly any other municipality on the peninsula, dipping almost 35% from 2019 to 2020. But people are booking for this summer, and there seem to be a lot of bright spots. So here to talk about all of that, we have Christy Terry. She's the mayor of Seward and the Seward Port Manager for the Alaska Railroad. Hi, Christy.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. We have Jason Bickling, Executive Director for the Seward Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
And
good to be here.
Thanks for being here. And we have Stephanie Mullane, who owns Sunny Cove Kayaking in Seward. Hey, Stephanie.
Pleased to be here.
First of all, Christy, something that's been coming up a lot and something that I've been seeing a lot of articles about and stories on is kind of the whole cruise situation, which seems to have kind of become very complicated. And I know there's a lot of restrictions that make it uniquely difficult when we're kind of reliant on international, on other countries. And can you kind of orient us as to where we are now with the cruise ship situation? Where do we stand, and are we optimistic that we will get any cruises to Seward this summer?
Sure. Well, I'll start off by saying we are getting definitely one ship on July 13th. It's been confirmed. It's the National Geographic Orion, and they have submitted their sailing plan, and they'll be crewing up in May. So we will see one cruise ship in Seward. You know, as we get closer and closer to, you know, what we call the cruise ship season, it's looking less and less likely that we'll have other ships. Just with the CDC requirements, they have to file a plan. CDC has 60 days to review that. They have to do a test sailing. There's 30 days with that. So just with those constraints, it looks like that might be our only cruise ship this summer. You know, that being said, they've published the 2022 cruise ship schedule, and I'm really hearing that 2022 is going to be as strong as 2019. In 2019, we had record numbers coming into Seward, almost 230,000 passengers over the dock. So we're really looking forward to more so next year to catch up again.
Why is that? Why was that ship able to visit? What about that ship kind of made it uniquely able to sail this summer?
You know, I don't know all the factors, but it's definitely a smaller ship. It's a 400-foot ship between 100 and 200 passengers. And then also they'll be sailing out of Nome and using Russia as a foreign port. So I think that they were able to, you know, work within the CDC guidelines, come up with a good plan, and that got them sailing the seas again, which is really great for us because it's more like a soft opening. So we can, you know, test some of the CDC things that we have in place. You know, ever since the pandemic hit, we've really been following all the guidelines, making sure that the port is open for business. And it'll be nice to kind of softly open into that and be ready for everything full on board next year.
What does the port look like right now? I imagine there's kind of other business that's going on down there. Are things kind of more quiet? Are you starting to gear up? What are things looking like down there for you guys?
You know, so we are a deep draft, ice-free port. So we're really busy all year long. And it's amazing that you asked that. I was just pulling together some numbers, but we have had just a great spring. You know, I am triple booked at our freight dock. Right now, as I look out my window, every single berth is taken at our port. We've had a lot of, what we do is a lot of mobbing for projects in Western Alaska, a lot of barges in here. We have military vessels coming in and out. You know, we're up quite a bit from 2019 just with all our freight traffic this year. So, I mean, one high point for Peninsula folks is with the Cook Inlet still frozen this spring, we got a third SeaTac barge. So SeaTac goes into Anchorage in the summertime, brings in all that construction cargo, and then in the wintertime they come here because of our ice-free status. Well, April was such a wintry month that we got that third barge in here. So it was nice to see the longshore working. You know, they're a employment group that's very highly impacted not having the cruise ships. And, you know, we've just been having a great spring.
That's great. Stephanie, so if I'm not mistaken, you bought your business, it seems like, shortly kind of before COVID. What has it been like to be a business owner throughout all of this? And how are you feeling about this upcoming season? Do you have bookings? Are you starting to kind of, you know, flesh out your schedule? What are things looking like over there for you guys at Sunny Cove Kayaking?
Sure. So yes, I did purchase this company in October of 2019. I had been working for Sunny Cove for quite a long time, and transitioned into ownership in October, which is just amazing timing to come into business and tourism in Alaska. But you know, we figured it out. We took advantage of any resources we could get our hands on as far as federal funding, just like a lot of small businesses did. And we pared down our staffing, and we made it work. And last year was a tough year, but we did better than expected, but it was not a great year. And what really made the difference was locals traveling. That really helped quite a bit. And because the business has been around since 1996, we have a pretty good word of mouth base. And so that helped us out a lot. As far as 2021, it's interesting. We are going to be busy. We are going to be very busy, and it's completely independent travelers. The big question is, you know, we've had an all-time high March and April for our reservations, but it's hard to predict on if that bubble of reservations has just moved earlier and it's going to slow down as the season goes on, or if it's going to continue at this pace. And so that one's a little tough to call right now, but we're feeling good about summer 2021 right now.
That's great. And you mentioned independent travelers. Do you tend to get a lot of independent travelers to your business? Do you tend to rely more on cruise ships? What kind of clientele tends to gravitate towards your business, and has that been impacted by the kind of cruise ship situation?
It has. We've never really specifically targeted the cruise industry, but a lot of independent travelers do cruise. They just go on their own route after they get off of the ship. And those are the people that we tend to get. And so we've seen that shift as well. But Americans want to travel this summer, and right now they're making up for the gap. And to be honest, a lot of the people I've spoken with, their cruises were canceled and they're coming anyway. They're flying up and then just, you know, getting a little more creative with their itineraries, and trying to visit a lot of the communities that they might have otherwise visited, but just doing it themselves. And they're still planning on cruising in the future.
I might just jump in there and let you know from the rail side. So our bookings are up 134% from last year. So they're down about 30% from 2019, but there's, you know, a long, very strong call volumes, and the news just keeps getting better and better. So we have the Coastal Classic that comes into Seward. It starts on May 29th and runs to September 6th. So at this point, we're almost double the amount of people expected in Seward from 2020. So it's great that that's the option coming into our community.
Wow. Jason, I speaking of kind of tourists and types of tourists and independent travelers, you know, something you and I have talked about before is how Seward might think about marketing itself in the kind of the pandemic era, or whether there's kind of going to be a shift to the way we think about tourism and whether it becomes more of a year-round kind of tourism strategy, or what are the conversations you guys are having at the chamber? What are they looking like right now? Are you kind of rethinking at all the way you present Seward to people, and are you kind of changing that strategy in any kind of material way at this moment?
Yeah, I think it's something that, as kind of a destination marketing organization, you're always doing. Just because even from 1 year to the next, your demographic that you're, that's coming to your town is slowly, slowly changing. And so who we're marketing to now is going to be different than who we're marketing to 10 years. And we have to make a gradual shift over time. And just the ways we do that on the very basic level of like print versus more like social media, Instagram based, there's those kinds of changes. And then even in the print materials we did do last year, it was very intentional. Our 2021 visitor guide is much more, I guess, oriented towards those independent travelers, excursion, a little bit more adventure oriented. So we did, we made some tweaks and shifts just in that. And then also this last year too, of just kind of the way we're changing our actual like marketing a little bit away from print, more towards digital. And, you know, and a lot of it too is going to be just because people that are planning last minute, you know, look kind of more towards those people. And so, yeah, we did definitely make some shifts, and it's pretty intentional around that.
Well, and I imagine you're doing a bit more marketing toward folks locally, like you did that Great Seward Shop Local program, which seems kind of like a way to capture a local base of tourists. And I'm doing air quotes here because they live there or they live where I live on the Kenai or in Kenai. So maybe that they're doing a day trip or something. But has that been a focus of your strategy as well? Or has that been a challenging thing to capture kind of more local attention?
Yeah, it was. I've only been here about a year and a half, but early on, that was kind of one of the things that we discussed about making Seward a year-round destination, because it really is. If it wasn't, I don't think people would live there. It's a great place to live year-round. And so, yeah, we just want to do some things like push out the shoulder seasons, having like the shop small weekends. In winters like this, we want to start promoting wintertime events. We did some small kind of test things. This year was not the greatest time to do it, but in the future, we'll definitely be looking at, you know, hosting like wintertime ski races, fat bike racing, and yeah, just because I think winter is one of the best times to be in Seward.
Yeah, I mean, something I was wondering is, you know, you guys obviously all work in Seward and you all live in Seward. What was it strange living in Seward in a summer that was more quiet? Was it nice? Just from a personal standpoint, what was it like living in this community that you're used to being a very specific way and filled? I've seen photos of 4th of July in Seward. I know it gets full of people. Then kind of having that to yourself, what was that like? Does anyone want to talk about that?
I think just real quick, Jason? I would say it's schizophrenic. Part of it, like there's this weird niceness that it's quiet, but then it's also sheer terror because of the what it's doing to the economy. And like, those are your people and your friends. And so if you can have both and, yeah, it was kind of nice, but also very terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, Stephanie. And all this thing. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I would second that sentiment. It was surreal seeing 4th of July in Seward the way it was. And it wasn't just that it was quieter. It was also, that was just in the midst of one of the bigger outbreaks in Seward. And so you knew not only were your friends suffering, but your businesses were suffering. And it was just a really difficult time. To be honest, it was sad. I think after having that experience, I would really rather see Seward packed to the gills than just oddly quiet in the middle of summer. We can keep the quieter in the winter. Let's bring in some year-round tourism, but you know, yeah, it'll never be summer tourism in the winter. So let's keep the quiet in the off season.
Christy, what about you? What do you think about that?
You know, I really am a people person, so I like meeting all our visitors. So that was something that I kind of missed last summer. And so I would much rather have the economic development than that kind of strange, you know, not seeing people on the street.
So you guys mentioned, we talked about 4th of July. Let's talk about this year's 4th of July. I know the Mount Marathon race is moved. Is it July 7th that it is now?
Yes.
July 7th. And obviously that's a big time of year for Seward. Kind of what went into that decision, and how are you anticipating 4th of July is going to look with this race moved. And of course, some things are going to just be different because of pandemic precautions and everything. Christy, what are you thinking about what 4th of July will be like this year, and why change the date of the race?
You know, I'll let Jason really get down to the details of the why, but I'll just start off by saying when everyone first hears it, they're, you know, very concerned and apprehensive, and they, you know, they're just worried about just the continuity. But once they hear the reasoning behind it, I think they're really thankful to know that we're going to have both a 4th of July celebration that's so important and also the race that's so important. So that's the lead in for Jason to give all the details.
Yeah, so the race director and the race committee, their number one goal is to obviously hold the race and hold it safely. And you have to make a call pretty early because of the planning that goes into that. And so they just felt that was putting on the 4th of July or having on 4th of July, it kind of creates a target on its back if something unforeseen were to come up. And I kind of explain it like a roulette wheel where they pick the date that's most likely to hit, even though it may not have technically the highest payout. But if you're looking for it to hit, that's the way to do it. And so, so I think that's, they chose that date and they'll be able to pull it off. And so even if we have some other little static that comes up, they can do that. And I think last year we called the race pretty early. They called the race pretty early. And so we were still planning on doing the 4th of July. We had an outbreak right then that kind of shut us down. But we're actually really kind of excited just to do what we can to make the 4th of July special. And we're trying some new things this year. We're going to have like the standard fireworks and the parade. We're also going to look at doing a boat parade, but vendors downtown, streets closed off. So I think it'll be, I think it'll be really good. It'll be different. But I actually in the long run believe that we'll be learning things from this that will apply to make the event better when they're both back on the same day again.
How so? What kind of, in terms of kind of developing new ways to celebrate, you mean?
Yeah, like we would have never, I don't think, ventured into like, hey, let's do a boat parade, because we're looking for ways to improve it. So I, you know, things like that might stick. The way we're doing like vendors, you know, there's just a lot of other things. And I think there'll be some new things that come from learning how we can do the race better as well when it's being done by itself that you don't learn otherwise. So, but I think the whole COVID pandemic situation has been, it's not good, but what it's brought about is some new ways of thinking and having to problem solve that I think will come out of this, having learned some things and how to do things better and more efficiently.
How long have some of these 4th of July traditions been around? Like how kind of continuous have these celebrations been? And do we know how they started? It's so interesting, kind of the way things just become tradition, but do we know why their tradition and how these things came to be?
People drinking in bars. I do know that's how that's kind of the story behind it, that people made a bet who can make, you know, from a bar, making up Mount Marathon in less than an hour. And so I think that's become an event that's very celebrated. That's been going on since, you know, it's very, very long time.
Well, I know that a former mayor, Edgar Blatchford, who's a professor at UAA now, he has asserted that we are the oldest foot race in the nation. Just that's how far back the history is. And it's been traditionally run every year for many years. I think there was maybe a year or two in World War II that they did not run the race. But, you know, we're also coming off of 2019 when we had the fires on the other side of the peninsula, and we really had to worry about air quality. So in 2019, it was even debated if we were going to run that day, and the adults were able to run, and then the children's race was called off. So there's a lot of runners ready to get back at the race, and I'm just really happy that the chamber and that committee took a hard look just to do everything they can to make sure that it does happen in 2021.
Do any of you run the race?
Oh, no.
Okay, that's what I'm just curious. So, Stephanie, how I'm also wondering, we talked about pandemic protocol with the race, and how do you kind of navigate that being careful within your own business, knowing some people are vaccinated, knowing, you know, that there's maybe still some high COVID rates in certain places. I know right now rates are actually going up on the Kenai Peninsula and in some other communities where people might be traveling from. How do you kind of navigate these things now that we're in this gray zone where some people are immune, some people aren't, some people have had it, some people haven't? Have you been thinking at all about that, or kind of making any decisions in terms of protocol or restrictions for your own business?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's something we've been thinking about from the start. Jason, I think, mentioned that we're all getting really good at winging it with last minute decisions and changes. And, you know, with our sea kayaking company, we're largely outdoors. And so that makes it fairly easy for us to take some precautions, but be in a pretty safe space.
Built in socially distanced.
Yeah, exactly. It was nice to hear the CDC announcement today about mask wearing outside for certain individuals. But, you know, we've been taking precautions, cleaning surfaces just like anybody else, high touch surfaces, and wearing masks when we're in close contact or in vehicles or inside the cabin of our boats. But last year we had no cases of COVID on our staff or with any of our guests that we're aware of. And so we feel pretty lucky that we made it through the season. I think this year will be even easier. The vaccination rates are going up every day, which in a lot of travelers, it's interesting. A lot of my phone calls start with, "Hi, my name's so-and-so. I just want you to know I'm vaccinated." And then they start talking.
How funny.
So I think most individuals that are traveling are getting vaccinated before they make travel plans.
I know something that the governor announced recently is that people traveling to Alaska can get vaccinated once they're here. Kind of a codification of vaccine tourism, which I'm wondering if you guys have heard of any folks who are doing that, or if that's something that seems to be an incentive for people. I know a lot of states have opened up vaccines, but there's waiting lists for some, and it's more complicated than others. Is that something you've seen already? Do you know if people are taking the governor kind of up on that promise? Has anyone heard of anyone doing that?
Well, I'll just jump in and say, you know, I have heard of a lot of Seward folks that, you know, maybe went to school here and then they're intentionally coming back to visit family and scheduling those appointments, which is great. And then on the marine side, there's a lot of tug traffic coming and going from Washington State, and those crews have been taking advantage and getting vaccinated while they're up here, which is just great.
Yeah, I've heard the term is vaxication for those that are vacationing and getting a vaccination.
I love that. That's very clever. In terms of what's going on at the port, I know there's also been some back and forth on whether or not folks who are on boats in general have to wear masks or the precautions there. Has that been difficult to navigate, Christy, or do you feel like kind of the instructions there are clear cut? What has that been like down at the port?
You know, early on, the railroad was very on top of it because we wanted to make sure that the transportation within the state was maintained. And then there are federal guidelines, and we are a transportation hub, so masks are required. And all the companies that come into the port, they don't want to lose the opportunity for the commerce. So they've been very good about following CDC guidelines.
Great. And Christy, obviously, you're mayor of Seward, so you've been kind of leading the city through the pandemic in a lot of ways. And what have kind of been some of the hardest parts of that experience of the last year? What are some times you kind of remember being more difficult? Or are there any bright spots for you in this last year in that role for you? What has your experience been like this past year?
You know, I think that there was a lot of fear to begin with, and it just was more the fear of the unknown. But I will say, you know, we see it on a national level, you know, maskers versus non-maskers, vaxxers versus non-vaxxers. And I am just really proud of this community that, you know, we have citizens that respect each other And, we might not disagree with each, we might not agree with each other, but definitely everyone's friends and neighbors. And that's just been so nice. Just being on city council and being a mayor, that we just respect each other and, have that mutual love. And, Seward's really pulled together at different key times. And it's really been a situation where the community as a whole has really pulled together for the benefit of all. So, that's been amazing.
Right. Well, you guys were also the only community on the peninsula to kind of require mask wearing, which seemed like, it didn't seem like you guys maybe got as much pushback as you maybe would have anticipated. I mean, was that a hard decision to make? Was that something that was a challenge for you guys on the in the city, or did you kind of know that that was what you wanted to do and that that was the right decision?
No, it was absolutely hard. Looking back, I'll just say I think it was the right thing to do. There are a lot of people that do not agree with wearing a mask, and that's absolutely their right. There's some other things that we did early on because of that fear, cut capacity, had different restrictions, and we really kept the mask mandate on as we felt was the least intrusive because we really wanted to get back to business, get the schools back reopened, and we did let it lapse once because our numbers were doing well, and then we reinstated it. But we've really been maintaining, and I can't see that we'll, I'm just one of seven, but I feel like we've gotten over that hump, and I don't know that we'll ever have to reinstate it again. I don't see that as a possibility right now.
Jason, I want to ask you. I've seen some businesses locally during the pandemic actually kind of start up, which seems like it could be a difficult time to start a business. But on the other hand, I know a lot of people maybe have more time to start something or do something that they want to do, or just the way that the world works sometimes, this is weirdly a better time for people than outside of the pandemic. Have you seen any businesses start or any businesses pivot in a major way? Are there any kind of stories there that interest you about the way people have somehow, found the wherewithal to start something during such a strange time?
I know that we did see, I think, some business start. There was definitely some pivoting, and there was people that were actually very successful during that. And so I know if people were willing to, lots of opportunities within that to make things happen. I know that one business started that was kind of a sanitation business where they would go spray businesses and do that. But I think probably one of the most, we had an expediter business that he does like transportation and ordering supplies and whatnot. But he came up with like a great delivery service where we would have ships come into port. They can't get off the ship and they have to stay on. So they'd put in orders with him. He'd go do all the shopping for them, go pick up pizzas and groceries. Whoa. For them and go pick up supplies and parts for them and basically just go drop things right on the dock. So they had everything that they needed for their boat, for their food, for their supplies. And so he kind of just pivoted his, cause he obviously was not doing more one kind of expediting, but it turned into another expediting opportunity. And so, and he's still like very, very busy now, but just because I think that allowed him to kind of find a new niche in the market.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's very cool. How did you guys kind of work with businesses this last year? Were there any, we talked about the shop local campaign. Were there any other kind of strategies you took that you're proud of, or anything that you did in particular to help businesses? You mentioned, the chamber pivoting to a more digital space advertising wise. Is that something that you've worked with other businesses on as well?
I think one of the things that was one of the hardest, but what I think is were really most helpful to businesses is that the ones that were open, we made lots of calls every week to figure out who's open and then to be able to create like one sheets and distribute those out so that anywhere anyone traveled, they would know like what businesses were open, at what times. And so that was really helpful to people coming into town, and you can just take a picture of a sheet so you know kind of what's going on, because some businesses were completely closed down and it's always hard to differentiate and search your way around town to find an open restaurant or who's doing takeout. all that kind of stuff. And so I think that was probably one of the most things that it was a lot of work, and it was very, it was just very tedious, but I think it was really meaningful because it was just connecting the customer to the business on kind of the very basic, most important survival level there.
Right. Letting people know what's open, where they can go. So getting that information all in one place is probably extremely helpful to someone coming in who needs to kind of orient themselves there.
Yeah. Yeah.